live from the Quad Cities with Morgan Otier and Kyle Keel. This is Quad Cities Live.
Learn a little history, hear a popular local band, and get a free comic book. These are all things you can do at the Silvis Public Library this month. Today on QCL, they are here to tell us all about everything you can check out.
A local spray tan business that will have you looking like you just got back from a sunny vacation while avoiding the harmful effects of the sun and the cost of a plane ticket.
Plus, multiple broods of cicadas will begin to emerge in parts of the Midwest this spring. The University of Illinois Extension Office is here with a look at where it'll be the noisiest. And I've heard that they're already out in some parts of the U.S., so they're coming.
They are.
It is Wednesday, May 1st, and you are watching Quad Cities Live. Happy May Day. I'm Kyle Keel.
Hi, I'm Morgan Otier. Thank you so much for joining us today. Well, this weekend, the much-anticipated Farm Life Festival is back for its 8th year in Grandview, Iowa. Tennille and Jesse Register are here with us from R7 Reclaimed. Welcome to both of you. Tennille, yeah. I know we've talked to you year after year, so welcome back, I should say.
Thanks for having us.
Jesse is a newcomer, so we're happy to have you here as well. First, Tennille, though, give us a little bit of background on your business, R7 Reclaimed.
Sure. R7 Reclaimed is a destination retail operation where you drive down 45 minutes south of the Quad Cities to a barn just outside of town of 300 people, and we have a two-story barn full of shopping and nostalgia and just a beautiful, beautiful experience.
Yes, the barn itself, it's kind of where everything grew out of. Describe the barn for us. You said it's two stories, but you guys have done a lot of work on it, Jesse.
Yeah, it's two stories, has a like an attachment, like a carport, where all our vintage is, and we just have stalls. Each stall has a different setting. She does a really good job at setting up different feels in each part of the barn. So,
and each year you hold this Farm Life Festival in and around the barn. Now, this is pretty cool. So it's become very popular. Like you say, you're kind of a destination. R7 is a destination. So talk about the Farm Life Festival. Eighth year.
People.
Yes. Is this the 8th year for
this
it?
This is our 8th year.
Yeah,
we can't believe we're still doing it.
Yeah.
We kind of thought we'd get to year 7 and give it up, but here we are opening up the gates again. You can see people line up in the morning. We love hosting small businesses.
Yes.
And it's more important than it's been in a long time.
Most definitely.
To support them. So we have handmade, vintage, plants. I mean, just everything unique that you can think of. If you're not a country girl or boy, you are still absolutely going to love this event.
That's what I love about your business. You guys manage to kind of walk the fine line between rustic and very modern types of things. So there's nobody that will show up and they're going to find something that they absolutely need to have for their home or a gift. Talk about the vendors that are going to be there at the Farm Life Festival. I read 50 plus vendors.
Yes, 50 plus vendors. And we think that's just the right amount because we want you to see the best of each genre, and we think we've accomplished that. So you can still get through it today and enjoy it. So
you brought items today.
We brought items. Yeah, we'd love to show you. So one of our favorites that you'll find in the barn. This is by an author in Iowa, and it's a journal that prompts you for each day of the year. What is the best book you ever read as a youth? And then you would fill that in.
I love
And so this is the kind of nostalgia, family values, just really like the heritage that you're going to experience when you're at the barn.
I have the one for mom here. And like, what a perfect Mother's Day gift.
Yeah.
It's basically allowing your mom, if you give it to her, to share, you know, moments of her life, stuff that you may not even have, you know, heard her tell you or talk about before. So that's such a special thing.
Yes, in the past, our event has always been in June, and this year we moved it to May.
Oh,
and we're
just
hoping
in time.
That just in time for Mother's Day that this will really work well for everybody.
We've got plenty of great ideas for Mother's Day on here, including these candles. I mean, these, if you could smell, we need that smell-o-vision. Come on, 2024. I mean, it smells wonderful.
Yes, and these are hand-poured in muscatine in high-quality containers that, as you can see there, Morgan, like, after you have emptied the candle, you put that in the microwave, wipe out the rest of the wax, and you have a gorgeous bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
and inside the barn, we sell refill packages, too. So if you're kind of crafty and you want to do that, you can.
I just love, like, what they've done, too, with the wax. Like, everything, just, it's the aesthetic is
it's
beautiful.
The thought that you put into a small business product that maybe doesn't go into a big box product.
You're so right about that.
Jesse, I know that you are proud that we have things for guys.
There's lots of stuff to do for guys. Woodworm, let me get it right, woodworm, woodworking.
Oh, good job. That's a tough one. That's a tough one.
He does lots of flags and games.
Like for your patio.
For your patio.
And a cocktail smoker. Like that's a thing now to smoke your cocktails.
Really?
And then we have a drink trailer.
Yeah, the Tipsy Traveler is coming out and she'll
mix up your drink.
Yeah.
Well, that's great because you know what? All these ladies are going to be bringing their guys out there regardless of what they have to say about it. And it's just nice to know that there are some things that they would love to look around and peruse. And I don't want to generalize either. I mean, I think that there are more and more men, too, that are, you know, excited about decorating a space and things like that.
Absolutely. And what we find is nostalgia hits with everybody, right?
That's
so, like, you imagine
thing.
The old Coke cooler
for
your man cave. They're all in on that.
I mean, I love that.
Yeah.
And so, and we have two locations now. So we set up an Airbnb downtown, and you get to tour the Airbnb.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's shoppable. So, like, what we have hanging on the wall.
People can purchase
it. They can purchase it. You can take it off the wall, take it off the bed, take
what
it out of the kitchen, and take it home. So if
That's
you have,
a great idea.
If you don't have much of an imagination, like, we're going to show you exactly how to do it, and you just go home, and you look amazing.
That is shop for your room and just take that room and make it your own at home. So you kind of mentioned that you have the cocktail truck and all that. What's a festival without food and drinks?
Yeah, food.
Yeah, Sinful Smokers, award-winning barbecues in here. So, and then the Lions Club will be doing their lemonade shake-ups. Who can live without those?
You're right.
I always say you'll smell Farm Life Festival before you see it, because when you turn into Grandview, between the kettle corn and the barbecue, you're going to know which direction you're
They'll lead you there. Your nose will lead you there.
I heard somebody told me that Jesse's going to be performing some music.
You got a singer.
Yeah, I'll be performing from 10:30 on, so I like watching people get out and just sit in the shade under the tree and listen to music and sing along. And
That's great.
So it's a lot of fun.
That's awesome. Do you get nervous? That's a big audience. There's like hundreds of people that show up.
I wish there was hundreds of people that sat there, but they don't. They shop.
You're like a nice background.
You're the background.
Right.
Yeah. There you go.
He's being modest. Literally about 50 to 75 people at all.
Gather around.
Are in the patio chairs, the table and chairs. There's people who check when he's going to be on because we have other musicians too.
Say.
So he's being
awesome.
More performances as well. So a lot to expect as you head down to the Farm Life Festival.
Kid friendly?
Yes.
Pet friendly?
Yes.
Wow. I mean, what more could you ask for? Amazing.
Take the whole family.
Yes. Okay. The Farm Life Festival is this Saturday, May 4th, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Admission is $5. You can also check out the VIP night for $7, which is this Friday from 4 to 7 p.m. We should also mention quickly that kids 17 and under get in for free on Saturday, which is huge.
And as Tennille mentioned, that there is a barn location and a downtown location. We have those addresses on your screen. And if you want to learn more about the festival, you can visit FarmLifeFestival.com. Tennille and Jesse, it was a pleasure talking to you today. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much. Well, coming up on Quad Cities Live, from a fun shopping festival to a local library that feels equally as entertaining, there's so much going on at the Silvis Library. You're going to want to stick around. Learn more after the break.
You're watching Quad Cities Live.
Well, it is a new month, which means a jam-packed calendar of things to do at the Silvis Public Library. Shanice Payne and Caitlin Lesage are here from the library. Ladies, both of you, welcome back.
Thank you. Glad to
have you back here on QCL. You have so many things to do this month. So, Shanice, let's start with this upcoming Friday. You guys are actually having some music out there.
Yes, it's going to be like our first music kickoff for the summer. So it's May 3rd. It's Rock in the Park Acoustic with Douglas and Tucker. So they're like a local rock and roll band.
Awesome.
So you're going to see some librarians dancing and hopefully the Silvis community out there just rocking along.
That would bring me out there, that's for sure. Very cool. So that runs from 6 to 8 p.m. at the park there. Family-friendly event, what should people know before they go?
Yeah, it's absolutely 1,000% family-friendly. We do ask, there is no alcohol, but you can make sure to bring a chair so you can sit, or if you're okay with sitting on the ground, that's all right too. So.
Awesome. Okay, well, Caitlin, also this weekend, more exciting things happening. It's Comic Book Day, and you guys are going to be celebrating Comic Book Day, so what are you doing for that?
So we have Draw Me Bill. He is going to be coming and teaching some comic book classes. We have two different age groups. We have a 10 to 13 class and a 14 to 18 class.
Okay.
And Jared from Tim's Corner Comic will be coming, and he'll be handing out free comic books to those that register for our programs.
Awesome. Okay, registration super important here, because I would imagine not only space like constraints, but also he's going to be bringing some comic books to give away, which is huge. Talk a little bit about Draw Me Bill. So he kind of takes groups of students through how to draw a comic book of their own?
So he is a caricature and comic artist. He's local, and he's going to be showing them how to draw like comic characters.
Very cool.
Like a whole book, but still
something super fun. Something really fun to just kind of get them started, get them into that creative space that maybe they can come up with their own comic book characters. I love that. Okay, then next week, Shanice, the library is going to be holding a talk on Bucktown. So who's this event for, and what will they learn there?
It's kind of for anyone that's interested in the history of Davenport Bucktown Center. There's a lot going on with the history. So a little bit of drama, a little bit of kind of getting in touch with things with the history of
Downtown. Well, there is so much history to learn, especially all over the Quad Cities, but the Bucktown area especially. I know there's a lot of people interested in that, so that'll be a really big one, a cool event. I love this. So you guys are hosting a Touch a Truck event, Caitlin, for the kiddos. I don't think I've ever met a kid that is not totally obsessed with some type of truck, especially you. So these are like gonna be police, fire trucks. Kind of explain what happens at an event like this for people that have never heard of it.
Yep, so our Touch a Truck is going to be from 11 to 3 on May 25th. 11 to noon, we're going to have a sensory-friendly hour for children who may not like the lights and the horns and the sirens and all that. And we have different like vehicles such as like police cars, fire trucks, we have a school bus, a city bus.
That's awesome.
They get to come, and the drivers will be there to explain to them how the vehicles work, as well as they'll be able to explore the vehicles themselves. And
that's cute.
I know some people are handing out like little goodie bags, and we're still looking for trucks, so if anyone wants to participate, we need trucks.
That's awesome. Yes. I don't know who would turn down making those kids smile. I will say, I can attest, my daughter's obsessed with a school bus, because I realize she's in kindergarten now, but she basically walks, she's so close to school, she can't take the bus. And I'm like, wow, she's in kindergarten. It'll be seventh grade maybe before she ever actually gets to get on a school bus. So this is super exciting for the kiddos, something to think about. You guys are also hosting a pet vaccine clinic.
Yes.
So who's involved with that?
So it's Quad City Animal Welfare Center.
Oh, great.
We try to do it once a year. People can bring in their animals to be treated. It'll be from 12 to 2 in our parking lot.
Oh, nice.
So they just pull up the big old van, and then you can bring your animals. They don't take animals that are sick or injured.
Right.
They must be up to date on their rabies and things like that.
Okay, so it's not like, you know, an animal veterinary visit in the sense that, yeah, you're gonna come and check out the animal if they're sick. But this is a great opportunity for folks to get their pets vaccinated and things like that, because it can be hard sometimes to get in and get the appointment, just finding time to do it. So you guys are making time available for people. Okay, so it's your centennial celebration this year. So a lot of the events that they are doing, it's all to celebrate 100 years of the public library, and it all leads up to this really fun summer reading kickoff, which starts on June 1st. So tell us a little bit about the goal of the summer reading program.
So summer reading program is something we do every year. It is to help children continue to read over the summer so that when they start the school year, they're not like falling behind, and it's to make summer reading like fun, so they're not feeling like they, you know, have to read and are bored, but they're enjoying the reading. There's a lot of incentives for them. We have a lot of cool prizes, a lot of fun events.
And this is, you guys kind of brought some props here, I suppose. These are things that you built that you're going to be giving away actually at the event.
Yep, so both of these will be in bags that they get for registering. So just
bags.
By registering, they come into the library and we hand them the bags depending on what grade they're in. There's different little things in it for everybody, just as kind of an incentive to continue reading.
Yeah, we've got stickers, we've got stamps, erasers, pencils, Play-Doh, some different, like, you know, discount cards and things like that, ice cream for around town. So definitely worth your while to come and at least check out the event and sign up for the summer reading program. And you guys brought a button making machine with you
we
today.
We did. I'm going to attempt it. But okay. So at our summer reading kickoff that we're having, it's going to be an all-day button making affair.
Oh, fun.
So everyone can come in, make their own button. We'll have different pictures that they can choose from.
Oh, I like where this is going.
Come up. And let's see. So bring this over. We slam it down. And there's something about the kids just like pulling on the lever. And then they're just like, yeah, this is fun. And then you put the button down.
You got it.
Take it.
You got it.
You got to do this part.
Oh, I got my supervisor over here. Okay. Oh. There we go.
Look at that.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
And the kids can have a shot at trying to make one too.
Absolutely.
Oh, fun.
So then we made you guys a little QCL button.
This is so cute. We got our own little QCL buttons here. Very, very cool. Okay, so signing up for the summer reading program, once they sign up, kind of explain a little bit about what happens during that time.
So they sign up and it goes from June 1st to the end of July. And they have a certain amount of books they have to read for the littlest ones or pages. And it depends on what grade they're going into. And once they complete, they get a free book as our prize, and they get entered to win some grand prizes. We got some pretty cool prizes. Our theme this year is keeping it 100, awesome. Because it's 100 years.
Yes, I love that.
So our theme is like emojis. Like we got all of our emoji buttons. We have emojis on our windows, a lot of emoji decorations.
That's cute. And on the screen right now is really all the stuff that's gonna be involved in this summer reading kickoff, which is super fun. Face painting, balloons, magician, refreshments throughout the day. Not only a really great event to take the kids to, but it also makes it a little easy on parents as well to keep the kiddos on track over those summer months.
Yes.
It's nice to have a little bit of guidance and have somebody else kind of provide that for you.
Yeah.
So all of that sounds absolutely amazing. You might be surprised to know that there is even more to do at the Silvis Library that we didn't even talk about today. Just go to silvislibrary.org to find an event calendar. It is right on the home page. You can also follow along on the Silvis Public Library's Facebook page. They do a great job of posting information there. Caitlin and Shanice, as always, thank you so much for coming today and doing all of this to show our audience.
Absolutely.
We appreciate it. Well, coming up, it is May, and that means it's Mental Health Awareness Month. We'll take a look at how NAMI Sauk area is spreading awareness and eliminating the stigma surrounding mental illness.
You're watching Quad Cities Live.
Raising awareness, spreading hope, and eliminating the stigma. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and NAMI Sauk area is working hard to support individuals in their journey to healing. And joining us from the organization is Mary Thormalin. And Mary, first of all, welcome back.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming to chat with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Oh, of course. Lots to get to. First of all, we've got our green ribbons on today. The green ribbons, they represent Mental Health Awareness Month.
Yes, green is for mental health. Yep.
Green is for mental health. So if you see somebody walking around wearing that, just know that they are representing, trying to end the stigma.
Absolutely.
Probably ready and willing to talk about mental health and mental health awareness.
Yep.
Okay, so we want to start with NAMI Sauk Valley. Tell us about the organization. Obviously, this is a national organization, but we are so grateful to have it in a couple areas regionally, including the Sauk area.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about your services and your outreach.
Okay, so Sauk area specifically has Whiteside, Carroll, Lee, and Ogle counties of Illinois. And we provide resources to our community. We have support groups for families and those that are struggling. We're just kind of there to support our communities with all of that. We give resources to all of our local health, mental health facilities, behavioral health.
Yeah.
We're just there to help them.
You are. You guys, you really do schedule a lot of different outreach groups and things like that, support groups for people to just kind of make it easy to find someone. You have provided for us today some statistics just to kind of help with perspective. I think that really does help a lot of folks kind of understand. So one of them has to do with how many adults struggle with mental health.
Yeah. So in the U.S., 1 in 5 adults struggle with mental illness within their lifetime, but only 50% of them actually get treatment.
That is, you know what? I'm actually kind of not surprised by that, unfortunately.
So it's somebody you know probably has a mental illness.
Somebody that you know is struggling with some type of a mental illness. The really, really sad part is not that, because that actually, I think, normalizes it a little bit. I think the really sad part is that only half of those people are able to either have the available resources, depending on where they live and where they are actually reaching out mm-hmm. to try and get some help with that.
Yeah, and that fact is only what has actually been documented.
Yeah.
There's probably way more than the 1 in 5 that actually.
You are probably right.
Yeah.
Well, what might surprise some people is this next one. The number of young people dealing with a mental health condition. We're talking about kids, people that are under the age of 18, correct?
1 in 6.
1 in 6 United States youth dealing with a mental health condition.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a similar statistic with the amount that are getting treatment.
50%.
50%.
Mm-hmm.
I think what's so hard with that when you're talking about people that are under 18 is they struggle to tell an adult pretty much anything. Like, what'd you do at school today? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, so when it comes to something as serious as maybe thinking they may have a mental health condition, struggling mm-hmm. with depression or anxiety, well, if they can't even tell you about math class, it's going to be really tough for them to tell you that they are dealing with something that feels really big.
Yep. Yeah, and I'm really excited. NAMI Sauk area this month is between the 13th and 17th that week.
Mm-hmm.
We have sent to 25 schools, middle schools and high schools within our community with this kind of toolkit of daily activities, and we're using the acronym ASK.
Okay.
A is for acknowledge. S is for support, and K is for keep in touch. So acknowledge is thank you for telling mm-hmm. me. That sounds really, really hard. Support is what can I do to help you? Mm-hmm. If it's a crisis, ask for an adult at that point.
Yeah.
And then K, keep in touch, ask them how they're doing.
Follow
do you want to hang up? Yeah, follow up. So.
Okay, so with this outreach that you guys are doing, you are helping thousands of students.
About 7,000 students.
7,000 students are learning about ASK,
mm-hmm.
which, I mean, we didn't have, I don't know, I can't speak for you, of course, Mary, but I don't think that I had anything like that
Mm-mm.
when I was going through middle school or high school.
No.
So this is going to be really huge as far as, I think, just kind of training young people on how to respond and not running from a situation where someone's reaching out for help.
We want students and young people to feel comfortable talking about this to their peers, but in general. And so we get to a point where they're comfortable saying it out loud to anybody.
Yeah. They're going to receive a silicone bracelet like the one that you are wearing right now that says mm-hmm. ASK. So they can wear it anytime. And that's kind of a reminder about what they've been learning from you guys. Also, you have an event on May 21st, Mental Health is Health. That's the name of the event.
Yep.
And you're going to be sharing your personal story.
Yes,
at that event.
I am. So I just recently got certified in our program, In Our Own Voice, where I kind of got the gist of how to properly speak in public. But I am going to be sharing my personal story and journey and my recovery. We're also having someone, Jamie Leach from Jamie Leach Counseling. Mm-hmm. She's going to talk about services she provides. And then Tammy Stewart from Sinisippi Centers, they're going to talk about the programs that they provide. So it's going to be an all. There's also going to be Q&A, just kind of ask questions. But we want to not only reach our youth, but we also want to reach our adults in our community.
Yeah. Show everybody what's out there.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you decide that you wanted to share your personal story at this time?
I've been sharing it for a long time, and NAMI Sauk area has given me a bigger platform to be able to do that. But I feel if I can at least reach one person with my story, mm-hmm. they might feel comfortable enough to go get help.
Yeah.
They might learn something from it to know what to do. They just might be able to do something and be able to reach out to somebody.
Yeah, you can kind of give them that little bit of strength maybe that mm-hmm. they were missing. Well, good for you.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing that and sharing that with so many people.
Yeah.
We do have a quick important reminder for people too. If you are dealing with a mental health crisis or thoughts of suicide, remember you can call the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. You can call by dialing 988. You can also text that number now. And of course, for a look at the calendar of NAMI Sauk area events for May or to seek other forms of support support. We told you about all those groups they have scheduled. Visit the website, namisockarea.org. You can also call the NAMI information line at the number at the bottom of your screen. Mary, as always, you are just a great speaker on all things NAMI and mental health. So thank you for coming back and talking with us today.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Well, still to come on QCL, avoiding the harmful effects of the sun by opting for a spray tan instead. We're going to talk with the woman and mother behind the local business, Airbrushed Sunless. And later, even if you don't see them, you'll hear them. The Illinois Extension Office is here with details on an historic emergence of cicadas actually happening now.
You're watching Quad Cities Live.
As our weather gets warmer and warmer, avoid the harmful rays of the summer sun and opt for a spray tan instead. Here with the benefits of sunless tanning is the owner of Airbrush Sunless, Lindsay Voorhees. Lindsay, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, thanks for being here. Lots to get into today, but quickly just kind of remind everybody about Airbrush Sunless, kind of your path, how you got started and where you are now.
So we do spray tanning and teeth whitening. I opened the business about, I want to say 10 years ago now. I started out of my home, and then I went to mobile, so going to people's houses. And then I just went for it and got my first studio just to see if it was going to work.
Yeah.
And it did because I just put everything into it. And then I moved downtown Davenport, and we've almost been there for 4 years now.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, full disclosure, I've known Lindsay at both studios, and I've kind of seen you grow and flourish as a business owner, which has been amazing. So a big question for a lot of people when they're thinking about getting a spray tan is when should they get that spray tan if they, let's say, have an event coming up, like a wedding or a vacation?
24 to 48 hours.
Okay.
Yes.
That is optimal time.
That is optimal.
Okay. So when you're... Let's say you are the bride and you are wanting to look a little bit more sun-kissed on your wedding day.
Mm-hmm.
You would still say 24 hours?
Yes, because the full development of the tan is actually taking 24 hours.
Okay.
People think once they rinse, they have their final color, and that's just not the case. Your tan still continues to develop a little bit after that first initial water rinse.
That is a good myth bust, because I do think people feel like that.
And they feel like the bronzer is the tan a lot of times.
Yeah.
And when they rinse
it
off, they're like, where's my tan?
Yeah.
I'm so light. And then they trust the process and they're dark again.
And then they see it.
Yeah.
Okay. So one thing is important to do is prep your skin if you do want to see that spray tan work.
Absolutely.
You're like, this is huge for you.
Yes. I'm like ready to talk about it.
Yes. Talk about how we can do that, how we can prep our skin for the best results.
Yes. So 24 hours before your appointment, not right before your appointment.
Okay.
You want to exfoliate. And a lot of people think that they take their loofah and their Dove soap and they just wash their skin.
Mm-hmm.
But a loofah is actually like a silk material. It's not a gritty material. It's not getting those dead skin cells off.
Sure.
It's not getting you a nice even layer of skin. It's not smoothing it out.
Right.
So you need like a grittier mitt that's gonna remove the dead skin cells. You don't want soaps that are gonna leave a film.
Right.
A lot of razors also will leave a film.
If they have the little strips.
The big moisture strips,
yeah.
Like the oil of Olay. So, yeah, those all leave a film on your skin, and that will cause the spray tan to not go on the best.
Okay, so good stuff.
And shave.
And I will tell people, like, your website, you have a whole page that's designated to just letting people know what they can do 24 hours ahead of time.
So we are passionate about it.
Yes. Well, of course, because you want your clients to get the best results. Okay, so how often can somebody get a spray tan?
Yeah, so they can last anywhere from 5 to 10 days, depending on your skin, how active you are, all of that, how well you prepare, take care of it.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people that always want to be tanned. So a lot of people will tan weekly.
Okay.
But you're really just, the last couple days of your tan, you're just scrubbing that tan off. Like the extra tan, you can easily get it off with like a tan remover mitt.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Okay. So you brought actually what you use to spray tan with you today.
Yeah.
So for people who have never gotten it done, this is what Lindsay uses. This is her tool. And you kind of take us through the process because you kind of position people.
Yeah, there is, I think it's 30 different poses, honestly, just based on your body type. We tell you exactly how you need to move, and we spray you by hand. We can get in you know, all the tough areas to tan.
I love that too, that you brought that up, because you're a huge proponent of, you are not allowed to come in and body shame
yourself. We shut you down. If you say anything negative about your body, we're like, no, no, not
this,
here.
This is not
a place to embrace your body, love yourself.
I love that.
Yeah.
I think that's great that you do that. Okay, so lots of really cool, you brought lots of products here with you
today.
We
have so much.
So what can you tell us about what you have here?
The reason why we carry all this is because when I got into this business, I realized how so many products are bad for the spray tan. Not only bad for the spray tan, but bad for your skin and your health. So I dug deeper and had to find products that are actually going to hydrate your skin, keep your skin hydrated, and are good for your tan. So we have body wash, we have exfoliants. And then this is just like a sample of all of our little products that travel size. So if you're going on vacation, that's perfect.
Can people purchase this?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yep. And then a body oil, which can be used like as a shaving cream and also as just a body oil in the shower to hydrate your skin. Our body butter, and then a spray body lotion. And then this extends the tan. So it's like a clear, because the face fades the fastest.
Yep,
so you just spray it.
All the time.
Yeah.
Okay, that's awesome. And aside from something like that, like a tan extender, these are just all great things that are just great for your skin for you to have.
Yes. So. And they're going to protect your tan and make it last and look way better.
They make great gifts as well. And because we're upon Mother's Day here pretty soon. So you guys also are a great option for Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. You can get gift cards there. Purchase a gift, maybe one of the items that you talked about today. And we want to show everybody your website, because it is really, really helpful. Beyond what you do to tell people to prep their skin, you can make an appointment on the website. You can start a membership on the website. So you guys make it pretty easy for everybody to just head on there. And we've got that web address too at the bottom of your screen. Easy to remember. It is just the business, airbrushedsunless.com. Lindsay, thank you for being here today.
Thanks for
and chatting with us and taking us through the process.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Well, up next on QCL, it's about to get noisy around here as we are heading into an historic season for cicadas. An expert from the University of Illinois Extension Office joins us with the details after the break.
You're watching Quad Cities Live.
Cicadas are officially emerging from the ground as the start of an historic emergence begins.
Emily Swihart is with the Illinois Extension Office, and she joins us now to talk all about these cicadas that are coming in. Thank you so much for joining us, Emily.
Happy to be here. Yeah, so happy to be here.
You brought some guests with you today as well, which we'll get into. But, you know, we're talking about how historic this is. I mean, you might have read all those crazy things online. Billions and trillions of cicadas are coming. Well, that's because more than one brood is emerging at the same time.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily here locally, right?
Yeah. So that excitement is more at a state level for Illinois.
Sure.
So there's the 17-year cicada and the 13-year cicada.
Okay.
And this year, both broods will be emerging at the same time. Not in the same location, but just in the ecosystem, they will be emerging. The last time this happened was 1803.
Oh, wow.
That's why we're excited.
Yeah. I guess so.
The Louisiana Purchase had just been made.
Oh, that's a
good context. So, and this won't happen again for another 221 years. And so,
so this is historic indeed. Okay.
It is. Yeah.
So the brood 13 is in the southern. So on the map that we're seeing is in the more of the southern part, and 17 is in the northern region.
It's a little weird because the numbers of the broods are actually kind of flipped a little bit. So those are brood numbers because there's different broods throughout the continent. We have the 17-year cicada in the red, and so you see that. Yeah, and then down south is where the 13-year cicada is going to emerge, and you can see right around Springfield is where you're going to get both of those broods kind of emerging adjacent to each other. There's not going to be a lot of overlap, but if you want to try to get an overlap, that would be where you would want to go.
Okay.
And these are in addition to the yearly cicadas that we have, which we have the exoskeletons of them as well. You brought in quite a bit. Sorry, the music threw me off.
Yes, stick with us.
So anyway, you've got the you brought that in. And I'm like, oh my gosh, is that from this year? These are from
a different year, but a friend of mine, Henry, collects these for multiple years.
But we've all seen these around.
Yeah, he let me borrow them just to show you all. This is the exoskeleton. So most people will have seen, you know, these on vertical surfaces.
Yeah.
Oh, where we got? There we go. So this is, so there's the life cycle of the cicada, yeah. we have eggs, which then turn into nymphs, which fall into the soil.
Okay.
So those are what's going to be emerging. Then they will climb up a vertical surface, and they will shed their exoskeleton, yeah, right. and then officially become adult cicadas. So kind of a...
exoskeleton.
I don't remember the first, but I mean, I've seen many. I mean, they're scattered about everywhere. And
they're creepy.
It's so cool. They're really cool.
Yeah,
they are really neat. Yeah, and so what I actually have here.
Okay, these are live.
These are live. These are the nymph stage. So this is what would be emerging out of the soil. So this is like teenager cicadas. Then they'll grow. This is the periodical cicada. So the last time these guys were above the ground was 17 years ago.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Look at them.
Yep.
And so
you can see that they're a little bit smaller too. So the dog day cicada or the annual cicada will be emerging in like July. It's kind of a later summer emergence. The periodical cicada emerges sooner. So we're going to be starting to see those. Yeah. Yep. End of May is when we'll expect to see those. And so you can see.
They start to emerge when that soil temperature gets a little warmer. So as those temperatures really warm up in May, that's when we see them.
Yeah, insects are highly dependent on temperatures. And so they're going to be starting to emerge. Now, this is real nerdy, and nobody should like know this. You'll hear them when they
start. We love a nerdy fact.
Yeah, you'll hear them, and so you'll know they're emerged.
Yes.
But 64 degrees soil temperature at 8 inches down.
Oh, okay.
So they're starting to work their way up, and so... you know, you can kind of start seeing that they'll start poking holes in the soil.
Oh,
I think we have a picture of that. You'll see like little dime-sized holes.
Yes.
Okay. They have not emerged yet. They're starting to just kind of make their way out, their pathway.
This is
and
fun.
Then they'll come
out. And, you know, I think it's a common misconception that these cicadas are dangerous for us. I mean, you're proving right now that these do not bite. I know I posted a picture of one on my Facebook page kind of teasing to this today. And my wife was like, it looks like it's trying to get you, like trying to attack you. They're not going to attack you.
They're not. They are. Totally harmless to people. For the most part, harmless to vegetation, except for small plant materials.
You brought an example of that.
Their primary objective when they emerge is to mate, lay eggs, and then they'll die in about 4 to 6 weeks. And so they're primarily focused on continuing the genetics.
So if you're worried about it though, and you have like any like branches or something that's about the size of a pencil.
Yeah.
Or
so the females have what's called an ovipositor, and it's just a little sauce sort of device that helps them lay eggs in plant material.
Okay.
It will slice through the bark of these younger twigs, and so if you want to protect them, because we're going to have, we could potentially have millions of cicadas.
Right.
Oh,
1.5 million per acre in like the most most suitable habitat.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
So you're
protect
them. Net them.
Net them. Yep. Okay. With a smaller net than you would have like for birds.
Okay. All right. Well, good to know. Good information. And you can learn much more by heading to the website on your screen or simply scanning that easy peasy QR code. Emily, thank you
so
for being here today.
Thanks for bringing the friends.
Thanks, guys, for joining us today.
Your news at 4 is coming up next.